You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
We start by talking about what CETA is not about, the Comprehensive Economic Trade Agreement. It's not about QP or the Council of Canadians opposing trade. In fact, 71% of Canadians support, if possible, expanded trade between Canada and Europe. We're a trading nation, and we should continue to be a trading nation. What kind of trade deal is being signed is what we're going to talk about tonight. It's not about tariff barriers. A lot of the discussion in the 1980s free trade agreement was about bringing down tariff barriers. Most goods traded between Canada and Europe are free of tariffs. Those that are left are coming down. And it's not about a big boost to the Canadian economy as measured by gross domestic product. At its most optimistic scenario, it might boost Canadian GDP by a third of 1%. So that's not insignificant, but there's no home run to be gained by signing a bad economic trade agreement with Europe. For the Europeans, their expanded trade with Canada will possibly expand their GDP by a tenth of a third of a percent. So there's no home run being hit to kickstart the economies of the European Union or Canada. It's also needs to be noted that we do about $98 billion a year of trade with Europe. That's not insignificant, but it's about a tenth of the size of our trade with the United States. And what do we trade with Europeans? What does Canada send to Europe predominantly? Raw, largely unprocessed materials and goods. Gold, iron ore, uranium, wheat, coal, lumber. What do we import from the European Union? Well, it's different. It's largely technologically intensive products like medications, medical instruments, aerospace parts, motor vehicles, motor vehicle parts. So it's our trading with each other is different. What CETA is about, as you saw in the short film, it's being driven by the European Union. It's the second go-around. They tried it with the federal Liberals under Prime Minister Krajicek. This time, they want access not to what the federal government controls, but to what subnational governments control. Government procurement at the provincial, local government, Crown Corporation, public transit authorities, water systems, airports, health and social services, most of which were exempted from the free trade agreement of the late 80s and the North American free trade agreement of the 90s. The Europeans demanded in this second go-around that provinces be at the table so they could be bound by this deal. As you know, in the first two deals, the free trade agreement and the North American free trade agreement, our federal government entered into those arrangements and the provinces were not present. And most provincial services and procurement were not impacted by the free trade agreement. Some were, most weren't. What does the European Union want? Well, number one, they want a Chapter 11 type provision to protect investor rights. What that means is they want corporations to have the right to claim for compensation if they acquire business in Canada from the public sector and they lose it. And we have some experience with that under the North American Free Trade Agreement and the free trade agreement. Our government a number of years ago had the audacity, I guess, in the eyes of the Ethel Corporation to ban a gas additive because it was a carcinogen. That company filed a complaint pursuant to the North American Free Trade Agreement, and we were ordered to pay them $16 million in compensation for lost business. A public policy decision in Canada to ban a carcinogen in the interests of public health. We paid compensation to a private corporation. S.D. Myers, another American corporation, Canada banned the export of a toxic PCB waste. We paid $20 million in compensation to S.D. Myers because they lost business with that decision. And the most pronounced example, not a tribunal ruling, but Mr. Harper just paying it off, Abitibi Bowater. A foreign-based corporation. They owned for 100 years, and their predecessor companies, timber and water rights in Newfoundland and Labrador. In exchange for access to those timber and water rights, they agreed that in taking down the trees, they would process pulp and paper and create jobs in Newfoundland and Labrador. They laid off all their workers, no pension settlement, no severance payment, CEP members, but they said they would still like to mine the raw logs from the forests of Newfoundland. The former premier, Danny Williams, we had many issues with Danny Williams, but in this case, agreed with him. He said, no way. He expropriated back the water and timber rights. They belong to the people of Newfoundland and Labrador. And they filed a complaint pursuant to the North American Free Trade Agreement. Prior to going to a hearing, Mr. Harper settled with Abitibi Bowater by paying them $130 million. Mr. Williams was right. The trees and the water belong to the people of Canada. In that case, the people of Newfoundland and Labrador. But because of trade deals with investor rights built into them, we as Canadians are paying compensation to corporations who, in that instance, renege on a deal to have access to our water and timber, but create jobs in Newfoundland and Labrador. Once they reneged on that deal, in my view and in Premier Williams' view, they lost the right to any compensation for the expropriation back to the public of water and timber rights. The European Union has other demands, not so much from their governments, although the governments are the mouthpieces, but on behalf of some of the largest corporations on the planet in the area of pharmaceuticals. Two of the largest reside in Europe. What do they want from Canada in this bargaining? They want an extension of patent protection for 5 more years, blocking generic drugs from entering the marketplace and bringing down the cost of pharmaceuticals. So two professors, one from the University of Calgary, one from the University of Toronto, have done a study. We get prescription drugs mainly in two ways in Canada. One, through the public health system. 5 years of patent protection will drive up the public drugs we receive by $1.3 billion. Many of us, many workers, receive drugs through their workplace benefit plans or other insurance schemes. Those drug prices will go up $1.5 billion, almost $3 billion in increased prices. British Columbia, the total net increase by the extension of patent protection for 5 years, $249 million collectively in drug costs in British Columbia. I don't know about you, but in every corner of Canada that Maud and I visit, Canadians don't like paying the highest prescription drug costs in the free world, which is what we pay right now. Every single body of citizens we appear in front of want the price of drugs to come down. They want a universal pan-Canadian pharmaceutical plan for all Canadians as part of our Medicare system, and we expect government to stand up and say no to patent protection. We want the cost of drugs to come down in Canada, not go up. Maud will speak about the European Union as the home to some of the largest water companies on the planet, private healthcare companies. They want access to the public sector, and they want compensation if bypassed. This approach to trade deals also puts a chill on new policy decisions that many of us want our governments to consider and implement. Many Canadians dream of finishing Tommy Douglas's vision that universal Medicare would include home care, public, not-for-profit home care and long-term care, not to mention universal drug program. Many Canadians want child care to be a universally accessible and available program for Canadian families. In the 1990s, in New Brunswick and Ontario, two governments were elected, the NDP in Ontario, and interestingly, a conservative government in New Brunswick. One of their top three promises to get elected was to do what BC did in the early 70s, Saskatchewan in the late 60s, Manitoba in the early 70s, and Quebec in the late 60s, and that is create a universal public auto insurance system. There's only four provinces in Canada that have made that policy decision. What happened when we elected a political party in Ontario and New Brunswick who promised to do this? Pursuant to the North American Free Trade Agreement and the Free Trade Agreement, the insurance companies immediately made it known that they would seek compensation pursuant to those trade agreements, and both governments backed off. Something Premier Barrett didn't do in British Columbia, and the governments of Saskatchewan and Manitoba and Quebec didn't do. They did it because their citizens wanted universal public auto insurance. There is a chill put on any expansion of public services to Canadians in the presence of these trade deals. Canadians should never accept a predetermined private role for any public program. And CETA diminishes the role, not just of government to deliver the services we get now, but to introduce new services that Canadians want. Why? All because of the investor state provisions housed in Chapter 11, that the Europeans want a similar clause in CETA. And I wonder why the Government of Canada, collectively, all the provinces and the feds, can't take the position that Australia has taken. Two-seat majority federally in Australia, a Labour government with a two-seat majority. They passed legislation late last year that said they're a trading nation, they want to expand their trade, particularly in the Asian Pacific region, but the government of Australia will not sign an international trade agreement with any other nation that includes investor rights protection. They won't accept Chapter 11. We ought to demand the same from our government. Since the free trade agreement of the late 1980s, in 1985, 20% of the jobs in Canada were manufacturing jobs. Many of them very good jobs in forestry, in auto, in steel, in many industries, in mining. Today, only 10% of Canada's total of 17.5 million jobs are in manufacturing. Why? Because of other policy decisions governments have made, beginning with Mr. Mulroney. He got rid of the Foreign Investment Review Agency. He brought in Investment Canada. 15,000 foreign takeovers of private Canadian businesses since the mid-1980s. Two businesses were denied, the recent Potash Corporation decision and one other. What's that meant? What we called in the early 1970s, my first year economics text, Professor Kerry Levitt called it the silent surrender. We fought an election as Canadians in 1972 saying we didn't want the silent surrender of Canadian industry without rules to foreign takeovers. Most of the commanding heights of Canada's private economy, particularly in resources, are owned by people from outside the border of Canada. And they want more rights in this trade deal. The Europeans want more access to markets to own and more access to the public sector. And it's had a disastrous effect on manufacturing jobs and on many communities in Canada. We spoke to Canadians about polling them on the so-called Comprehensive Economic Trade Agreement. 60% of Canadians oppose opening up government purchasing to the European Union. 67% absolutely oppose any move by our governments that increases the price of prescription drugs. 52% oppose opening up any portion of our water systems to private ownership and operation by European Union corporations. So Canadians haven't heard much about this. When they're asked about it, they feel strongly about many of the services that we collectively have decided to provide one another. 81% of these 3,500 Canadians trust the public sector more than the private sector to provide water services. 89% believe, as mad as they get at governments at times, there's more accountability to protect the public interest when government is in control of these services. But CETA is flying under the radar. In Europe, the European Parliament requires public updates on the Canada-European trade negotiations. That's not required by the Parliament of Canada. We have the minister, he comes from Abbotsford, Mr. Fast, absolutely criticizing anyone who dares to question the details of CETA. He did so last week, slamming the NDP trade critic for being beholden to unions and other interest groups and asking questions about a deal being signed in our name. Very different than the European accountability measures built into the European Union Parliament. So why the secrecy? Well, I don't think people want what Maude and I have done on 15 or 16 occasions since April when we began in Calgary. They don't want this public discussion. They don't want Canadians learning about what might happen to your water system, your Medicare system, your public education system, or other services. And they absolutely don't want open discussion about the price of pharmaceutical drugs going up. And all of our repeated attempts to speak to government about this, the federal government, have been rebuffed. It's a government that doesn't want to meet with Canadians to openly talk about this. So CETA is big, and in our discussions with Canadians in every province except PEI, and we're going to get there, Maude, we have come to a couple of conclusions. Number one, we oppose taking autonomous decision-making power away from provinces, local governments, or communities. Two, CETA, in its present form, with what's on the table, grants too much power to multinational corporations. Three, it will drive privatization. It will threaten things like public water. It will threaten local job creation, and drug costs are going to skyrocket. So our message has been to the Canadians we've met since March, get involved, speak out, demand accountability. We think our vision of Canada is worth fighting for, and we fight we must. If we're going to turn this thing around, we absolutely need the support of citizens from all walks of life to join with the Council of Canadians and all progressive groups to say that we're not against trade. We're against the giveaways that are on the table, and we expect government to stand up, not in the interest of corporations, but in the public interest.